you sit silent during the countdown every show you host? You sit silent?
I don't know that I've ever done that. Sure.
I push the
quiet on the set, everybody.
I push the envelope on that minute countdown.
Oh my gosh, look at us.
Look at this. The Denver Sports Podcast, as always, presented by our good friends at Breckenridge Brewery. It's kind of Breck Farmhouse season. Go there, enjoy your summer. Justin Michael, who you know, he's part of the Breck family, told me they've got slushies at the farmhouse.
What?
Yeah, a little
like a beer slushie.
Like do a they call them slushie?
Do they call them? Do they call them sloshies? You get sloshed.
They might. I mean,
I never stopped working here, fellas. I'm an ad man.
Gold mine here.
I'm an ad man.
My question would be why?
Yeah,
why? A Breck brew is perfect as is.
It really is. Like,
I mean, have you ever accidentally left one in the freezer and
then it blew up in my
flush it up? Breck brew, check them out. Beer locator. What a panel. Superstar Kale. Behind the ones and twos, as if that wasn't enough.
I think it's enough.
The great Rudo here to talk some Avs for us.
I can't wait to use a 2-on-1 advantage to win every Avs versus Nuggets argument.
That's true.
You're still going to lose.
It's fair, probably.
As I mentioned, I have a lot of Dan Izzle content, so I wanted Adam Mares and Eric Weedham both here. Fresh back from Vegas. Adam, you're saying you're fresh as a daisy, recovered in full.
Oh, fresh as a daisy for sure. And I love it. You know that on a show when we're talking about great running mates, I get to be the best running mate.
What does that mean?
Trey hosting me running.
Oh,
I'm the running mate.
You looked at me as though you and I have a relationship.
You lost out on best running mate of this panel. That's what I was trying to tell you.
I mean, who's deciding that? Dre, at the end of this panel, I declare
I will decide you have to who the best running mate is from this show. I totally agree. That's what we're talking about. Best second stars, running mates. I even phrased it as a second fiddle.
Second fiddle to me is a
that's a diminutive.
Yeah, that's like you're saying that negatively. He's just second fiddle.
Some guys can't be the top star, but they can be great second star.
Dre, mate.
Do you feel running that? Mate is do you feel that term. Adam immediately refuting something you said maybe knocks him lower in the second fiddle category?
Yep, I think that's a great point, Eric. Astute by you, and that obso by you just raising your star.
I can't believe this.
Love
system.
What you're
I can't
doing. Believe this. Yes, system. Love what you're bringing to the table. But yes, running mates. Running mates in Denver sports. We're in this golden era. We wanted to go back. There are some obvious ones. There are some other ones where it's like, well, who's the chicken? Who's the egg? Who's the superstar? Who's the running mate? Can't wait to talk it all out. And let's just a quick little retrospective in Denver sports history. In the olden days, this is kind of what got like legends like Floyd Little. John Elway never really had a running mate until the ultimate running mate came to...
Literal running mate.
I know.
Literally, yes, exactly as the kids would say. I mean, the Nuggets in the early days, much more successful franchise than the Broncos. The guy who stands out is Dan Izzle as kind of the running mate to David Thompson. Izzle in some ways still there for Alex English, right?
I never thought of Dan Izzle as a running mate, though. Do you?
I thought of Dan Izzle exclusively as a coach.
So, well,
because I am quite old.
We're dating ourselves.
I'm quite old, but I'm not that goddamn old.
Not that old, yep.
Yeah, I don't know that I would consider him a running mate. Like later on when you get into Alex English, Fat Lever was sort of a running mate. So, but Dan Izzle to me was, I mean, he was something different. I mean, there was a star, and that was David Thompson. And Dan Izzle was sort of a star there too, but there were other guys that kind of came and went. Bobby Jones was there for a minute.
Yep.
You know, they had different guys. So I wouldn't have even thought of him in this list. But I actually do want to go back to something you said already, which was the olden days. I do feel like you can do this for basketball, where I feel 1980, 81 is sort of the modern era of basketball. Mm-hmm. And then you can go even past that to maybe 2010 becomes almost this like postmodern era, or whatever you want to phrase it. For Denver sports, don't you feel like anything pre-1994 is like the old days? Because it's before the other sports arrived.
Yeah. Yeah, and 94 as the separator, because then Rockies and
Denver had no self-esteem as a city.
Right.
It was a dusty old cow town in every way, shape, and form. I used to be terrified to come to Denver as a child.
Really?
Dude, kids these days don't remember. Coors Field used to be in a bad area.
Bro, it was, not to make light of it, a murder central. The train yards where you could go from east to west. It was like in the center of the country. A lot of transient type behavior. It was a very scary place, Denver. Anyway, so no to Dan Issel.
I mean, great analogy for our sports teams as well. Yeah, the running. It's slim pickings before 94. You're right. All you really have beyond what we've already mentioned is like the Orange Crush. More of a great defense, I think Randy Gradshar established as the top star.
Than,
right, yeah. But then to find the second best, you could name like six guys.
Right.
I think we'll get into some of that with the 07 Rockies.
Yeah.
And then
that's tough.
The Avs bless us with their presence.
Well, hold on, because you have Steve Atwater and John Elway here, and I don't think you can have a defensive running mate in football to an offensive player. I don't think that makes sense.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Not particularly, no, because those are two different teams inside of a team.
It's an imperfect running mate for sure. And that's where the John Elway from the pre-Mike Shanahan era, it's hard to find him a real, you know, your dad might have been a Sammy Winder fan or a big
Rich Carlos, the
Three Amigos guy, you know, but clear running mate. So the best I could come up with was a Steve Atwater, you know.
Can a coach be a running mate?
I think like potentially
was Dan Reeves Elway's running mate for a while there the worst way.
His anger.
Yeah, they were more like frenemies in that case. I think
running in opposite directions.
I think Mike Shanahan could be in the consideration for a running mate later on, right?
I definitely think that is true. I think Michael and Phil, if you go like outside of Denver sports, you almost think of them in some ways as a duo, even though it's really Michael.
Scotty's certainly the running mate.
I think more Kobe and Phil.
Really?
No, I don't know. Phil was all over the place.
Yeah, he really
was. How many running mates can you be?
And then?
Well, actually, this one. Tom Brady and
Belichick.
Don't you kind of think of that as the duo more than anyone else?
I think everyone thinks they hate each other now.
Well,
though,
now they do. But at the time, it was like you got Tom and you got Belichick. And it's like the master and the Jedi.
There are some of those, right? Yeah, Bill Walsh, Montana, Bill Russell, and Red Auerbach, I guess, would count. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe a little Magic and Pat Riley. Does that apply?
No. No.
No. There you go.
I mean, have our ruling. Kareem and Magic was the duo.
Fair enough. And then we finally get the Avs to come around.
Yeah. Avs make it fun.
And that's where you actually start having not just some legit superstars, but multiple legit superstars to where you can start having this conversation of running mates.
Yep.
And what's interesting is the two cup seasons for the Avs pre this latest one.
Yeah. The classic era.
Classic era.
96, Sackett kind of the established star, but Patrick Waugh being added.
Yeah,
The season is a big storyline.
If you're asking me, Sakic is the running mate.
Really?
In 96.
To Patrick Waugh.
Whoa.
Yeah. Patrick Waugh is the guy in 96. He comes in. He takes a team that was supposed to be good, makes them a championship contender.
Yeah.
He tears through the playoffs, has unbelievable numbers all the way. You even get down to the cup final. They get a goal scored on him in game 3. He says, okay, I'm not giving up another goal. No more rats. Is the official quote.
Right.
And he doesn't give up a goal for the rest of the cup final. He was just on a different level that year. Now, if you're talking about careers, this conversation gets way more complicated. But for 96 specifically, Joe Sakic's the second guy.
Before the playoffs, was that the case?
We spent an hour before the show saying they're both the number one. Like, it's impossible to take them apart. But with the playoffs, I gotta give the nod to Waugh.
Goalie's also kind of tough because running mate, I do think more of like teamwork.
Yeah, there's not really playoff between them.
And this is like a complete slight to Peter Forsberg, who, if you're ignoring goaltender, it's Sakic 1.
But
Forsberg,
you could almost
2.
Make the case there to me. Like, to me, you could make that case. If we were saying offense, defense kind of is uncomfortable or whatever, you could say that Forsberg and Sakic were, I almost think of them more as a duo than Waugh.
I agree with you. Like, if you're talking like true running mates of playing with each other, doing the same things, you're probably right. It's probably Sakic and Forsberg, even if they didn't really play on the same line together.
Right.
But it just, it cannot be ignored how much Watt did for that team. So you're stuck in a spot where you're shorting someone who's Hall of Fame caliber no matter what.
There are also two guys that might be. I know last week you did the Mount Rushmore. The week before you did the Mount Rushmore. There are also two guys that might be on the Mount Rushmore still. I mean, I think that probably Watt gets bumped off. I don't, but just with Jokic now winning a title. But nonetheless, you could easily make the argument that they're both there, which is the only, man, I guess them and then Elway and TD are the only other teammates that you could have that have a case for this. So that carries a lot of weight.
Well, and in some ways, it is a pairing similar to like an Atwater Elway, right? Where I think the perfect running mate, Eric, is actually one where they're playing off each other, where you have those memories of playing off each other. But why I mention why is narrative and storylines matter. And also, like, being able to take someone who's already the established star and put that team over the top, I think, is a great sign of a great
I mean, this is this is a semantic discussion through and through. It's like, not asking, like, who are the two best players, period. We're saying, like, running mate to me, that's president, vice president.
Yeah.
That, that
who's
is
the VP?
You are, and it doesn't, it oftentimes in sports means that you make the other person better. Because you are doing something in tandem versus simply just existing on the same team at the same time. So I am inclined for the Avs. Like I mean, Forsberg, and a lot of these too, like when you, you know, the initial question is like, is it Dan Issel? Like these echo throughout time. And if it's not immediately obvious, it's not true. Right. You know what I mean? Like there's something about like, as the nuance and the specifics fade, you can look and be like, psh, Sakic and goddamn Forsberg played together. TD and John Elway played together. Like all these things that, you know, and Waugh, I think, was probably the best player.
Oh,
without question.
I think there's no
I mean,
doubt.
Like, Patrick Waugh's probably the best goalie of all time.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no probably about it. He is.
I mean, if you live in New Jersey or if you're like a big Terry Sawchuk guy.
Yeah, there's an entire coast of the country that's wrong. It's fine.
Well, just to be clear, that's true. But
not just about this either.
Yeah, but like running mates to me mean like you do something, you slap each other five. You know what I mean?
Right. Nobody I'm with you on
nobody
this.
Nobody slapping Waugh five because you're not allowed to talk to him. or he'll like Statue of Liberty
the,
you and
the
tell you to get the F out.
The problem there is it gets confusing over the course of their careers because, again, yes, Sakic and Forsberg are remembered as two great players for the Avs, but they weren't really a duo together.
Right.
They never really played on a same line.
There were
times,
though, right? Where, like, there was times when, like,
there really wasn't a lot, especially as we'll get into the 0-1 Cup and Forsberg being hurt for that.
Go right for it. That's another defining moment where it's like, Sakic does it, and that whole team, in spite of Forsberg being out.
Yeah, and if you're talking 0-1 Cup, Sakic is definitely the number one. There's above Waugh, no
Martian
doubt about
numbers
it.
That year. Martian numbers.
Just unbelievable play.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think it boils down historically. It will end up being Sakic and Waugh as the two legends there. As Adam, as you put it, I'm with you. I think Sakic's probably the one left on Mount Rushmore now that he's done
the GM
stuff and Waugh's coaching didn't go so hot.
But there's also something about the presence, you know, like Waugh's kind of a maniac, which is awesome. Dude, but Sakic is like, I always say if they ever made a movie about Joe Sakic, it would be played by Kevin Costner.
I was going to say, Sakic,
the most charismatic, lovable, awesome badass.
Also Sakic literally chiseled.
Yeah.
Look at this man, he's chiseled.
Yeah. It's true. And then, I mean, Ray Bourque's a big part of the storyline. You pass him the cup.
Storyline great. Running mate, no.
Get lost.
I agree.
Good talk. Thanks.
I'm just throwing stuff out there.
As fans will get mad at me, but you can make a much better case for Rob Blake as a running mate than Ray Bourque.
I agree. Ray Bourque was like do it for Ray. And it was do it for Ray so that the Avalanche could feel like they were a meaningful part of NHL history at that point. It's like, we contributed. Hey, we gave him a cup. You can't tell us we don't count.
I say this considering that moment as maybe the greatest moment in sports history ever.
That's why I think it's worth mentioning, you know?
Yeah.
There's not a dry eye in the house.
Yeah.
Or in the apartment that I was living in.
And it's similar to like a Von Miller, Peyton Manning running mate. That's the beauty. It's similar to Von Peyton Manning, where I think of Von's running mate more as like DeMarcus Ware.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. How does Champ Bailey fit in that conversation, too?
Champ is in the Floyd Little camp. Yeah. You never found him that running mate.
That's fair.
Darren Williams maybe was, and then before he could ever take off, he's slayed after his rookie season in that tragic New Year's Eve.
I actually love this conversation already because you're right. There is both the, like... two players that were great, which is the Sakic and Wah. Yeah. But then there is the running mate part, which is like how much were they guys that elevated each other? Yep. And we're going to find some guys that fit both perfectly.
Yes, exactly.
Because I think so far we haven't hit on a great duo or running mates.
I agree.
I think we've only hit on great teammates.
I agree.
Exactly. And we shall enter the 21st century of Denver sports in just a second.
Oh!
Before that, go download the Game Time app now. Yeah. Use that code DMVR for $20 off instantly. That's like two free Rockies tickets the second you sign up.
That's two free season tickets to the Rockies.
Yeah, and if you want like Taylor Swift
tickets,
all of a sudden those will just cost you
$1,900. You found them for $1,900? Are you serious?
$1,900 bucks.
Will you let me know?
Can I be the oldest man in the world right now?
Sure.
Can I be the oldest man on earth?
Yeah.
What is the goddamn deal with Taylor Swift? I do not understand this at all. She is the most generic sounding pop music I've ever heard. People lose their minds. Anyway, back to you, Dre.
Oh, no. I won't voice my opinion publicly, but I might just agree with Eric on that one. Game Time has you set on cheap Rockies tickets, T-Swift tickets, and everything in between. Sign up now. Use that code DMVR. Our game of the week.
Wait, do you have one?
I always have a game of the week. Let me hear it. It's... at Dick's Sporting Goods Park,
we got the Houston Dynamo coming to town. First off, match of the week. Thank you.
So thank you. Great correction.
And they were going to be wearing nice kits de la out semana, there on the as they pitch. Might say.
That's our Game Time game of the week. You can get those as low as $30 right now. Don't think they'll have the Flowbots or fireworks. Still a game of the week.
I can't believe that the MLB MVP winner coming home to play the Yankees got overtaken by the Rapids.
I don't want
to
be with Yankees.
I'm reasonably sure I just earned us our first thumbs down, by the way, by Taylor Swift comments. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're on YouTube. You should have known better.
Yeah. Well, I do know better. I just can't help myself.
No doubt. So we've talked about less imperfect duos, but we haven't quite landed on that perfect running mate. I think there are some quite obvious ones, and that's, you know, turn of the century. John Elway finally finds his running mate.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that's why we all idolized Terrell Davis. Like, that was... Elway was a god in this town, but he couldn't win the big one, and TD was the guy to give it him over the top. And there's some other running mates, Mike Shanahan, Shannon Sharp, guys like that, Rod Smith.
Terrell Davis is the guy.
The question to me is, which one's the president and which one's the vice president?
I feel like this is super easy for me.
John Elway.
This is how you got invited on this show, was you had a very strong take on this, Eric.
What did I say? I don't even remember.
Well, you said, like, yeah, you don't supplant the quarterback. You don't supplant John Elway. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there are, like, being the spiritual... leader of a team means something. Yep. Like, even if you're not the best player, you can still be the top fiddle.
It's definitely a formula. That can be too much.
Yeah.
But that one's close enough that it's like, Elway.
Specifically, to be clear, winning an MVP doesn't necessarily shift the...
In this instance, I don't think that it does.
Keep it under your hat, because this will be relevant for Makar McKinnon.
I feel like the quarterback is the president.
Yeah.
Always the president.
Also, he was there.
Yes.
That was his arc.
Yes.
That TD arrived to be the running mate to his arc in a lot of ways.
No question. That is part of the great running mate, is sometimes the running mate can come in and be the star.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Which we saw, like, from a Jamal Murray in a recent playoff run.
You know, there also was a sense of watching Elway all this time that if you kept it close, he would win it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, Denver wasn't capable of keeping it close in the playoffs to the best teams. And so Terrell Davis represented the, like, crush you, or keep it close. So when he was, when they were both odds, like he would crush you, and the Nuggets or the Broncos would win by 3 touchdowns. But then there was also the like Terrell Davis could keep it close, and then Elway was there to close the game or this or that. So it wasn't like Elway, not to Peyton Manning when they won the Super Bowl by that point was kind of managing the team and leading it and along for the ride. Like that wasn't Elway. They happened to have an MVP, but Elway was still awesome.
Yeah.
During that run. So to me, it's close enough that yeah. Terrell Davis was the running mate.
Okay. I think I agree.
Do you agree?
1,000,000%.
Yeah. All right.
1,000,000%.
I thought that would be controversial.
I was on the other side to start, but I think it's pretty reasonable
to
say.
Sometimes you can have like a more popular, powerful in some ways, vice president to a president. Dick Cheney overshadowed George Bush in many ways.
Wow.
I've taken us to a place we don't want to go, but I'm just saying like the idea, like there are points where like the quarterback, it is his team always.
I think it's really hard to get over the history there.
Yeah, it's his town.
Yeah. Right. Like Elway was here forever. He was the guy here forever. And Davis's time here was great, but it was also super short.
He also did the helicopter. What are we talking about?
Do we feel the same way about like Helton is the star? Yes. Matt Holliday was his running mate to come in and take him to heights he never achieved before.
I feel that way.
That's the way I feel about it.
I think baseball is almost harder to have a running mate.
Yeah.
You know, naturally, but.
And that 07 lineup feels similar to like the Orange Crush, where it's like, it's a great lineup. There's not like really a second guy to the top guy to. Nuggets ones, you have obviously Murray. I think Murray and TD are like the very clear-cut, tippy-top, no-brainer running mates. How they played off of the star is like...
Yeah.
I mean, what more can you say about Jamal Murray in his role like this?
Before we get to Murray Jokic, can we do the predecessors here for the Nuggets?
Please.
Yeah. Because the interesting thing is... Billups is the running mate to Melo, even though we're flipping the narrative of what we just did
the
with
leadership
Elway.
Stuff.
But it's because he checks all the same boxes that Elway did, except he joined Melo. Melo was already here, and that's why to me it's clearly Melo. You know that he is the main guy and Billups the running mate. I actually think though, weirdly, Melo and AI were more running mates than Chauncey and Melo.
They were.
You know what I mean? From this conceptual thing that we're talking about.
Yes.
Like, Chauncey was the leader on Melo's team and this or that, and they fit together nicely. But AI and Melo were like
AI and Melo would, like, show up at your room at night and be like, hey, come on, we're going. We're like, where are we going? We're like, we can't tell you. They're just like, they're running mate. They're just like partners. They're like, they just work together. They're like the same kind of personality.
That is much more of running mates to me. And honestly, Iverson was the running mate in that one as well.
Yeah, for sure. Because he came into Melo's
territory, and they were kind of equals at that point. Like AI wasn't better than Melo at that point.
That 10-year starting as Melo's just starting his 15-game suspension for punching
a member of the Knicks. Let's just pretend it was
definitely
New York
created
Knicks
Melo that. They were like alternating your turn, my turn type deal. That there's your predecessors.
And even going back, we didn't really mention this one, but Fat Lever to me as Alex English's running mate to me is like, that's a real... That one makes a lot more natural sense.
Yep.
And same thing, he joined the team later, so like he joined to elevate him.
Is there an argument for Doug Moe being a running mate there?
Yeah, totally
similar
is.
Similar to like Shanahan
Alex
for
English
LA.
And Doug Moe to me are like married to each other in Nuggets lore, so kind of
You love him so much, why don't you marry him, Doug Moe?
And then we have Jamal Murray. I mean, the perfect running mate.
All right, hold on. In addition to being among the best second guys, most talented, and having the most success winning a title, I would argue of all of the names we have brought up so far, minus Terrell Davis, who's obviously running back to a quarterback, that's perfect as well, Murray is the best fit next to his main guy of anybody we've mentioned, including Terrell Davis. I just think they're equals. That's what makes Murray and Jokic so special is that they're both individually brilliant, but somehow perfect puzzle pieces that come together. And that team, the team's identity, we credit Jokic more than anyone because he's so freaking great. But to be honest, it really is the union of those two.
Of course,
that is the identity of the Nuggets.
Like, what would you say the natural running mate to peanut butter would be?
Jelly.
Yep, there it is. The nickname that has been bestowed upon them.
Marshmallow cream spread. Yeah, remember that was a kid? Marshmallow cream.
Honey, if I think about Nutella,
you can actually make a bunch of great sandwiches, but
don't
the ultimate sandwich if I think about strawberry jam.
If I think about peanut butter and honey, I know that's coming on wheat bread. I hate it.
You don't like honey?
Not on wheat bread with Roman meal wheat bread. We've gone too
honey deep. Gives you the best immediate boost of energy. You eat some honey. Immediately into your system.
That's why they have those more energy
sticks. That's why they have those sticks, man. You wake up, you perk right up.
I don't know if I've ever agreed with Eric this much before.
About which part?
He's got the PB&J down. He doesn't want the honey.
Yeah.
Look, classics are the best sometimes.
Classics are. I mean, we're all there. I'm just saying the others are good.
Makar, Mac, and Miko all a nice fit. But with the Avs, it's not. There's not a clean, like, this is the star, this is the two.
So
that's where it gets messy with the Avs.
The Avs, it's a very modern Avs, very complicated conversation. Very quickly in the previous eras, there was a stretch of time where it was Joe Sakic and Milan Hayduk.
Yep.
Hayduk was pretty clearly the running mate there. The Avs just weren't all that good anymore. It is what it is.
The amp line, baby.
And then you had a brief stint where MacKinnon was probably the running mate to Matt Duchene.
Oof.
And then you moved into this modern era where it's very, very hard to separate this.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're truly defining running mates, I think it's Mac and Miko. They're the two that play together, that click together in a similar way to Murray and
playing
Jokic.
Off each other, yep.
That is how it works, and Miko is definitely the running mate to Mac, and that's a fact. But then you throw in Cale Makar.
I know.
And Cale Makar is
probably
the best player of the three already. But
has more juice to be in like the GOAT conversation as far as like greatest defender all time. Right.
Like when his career is over, he will be the best player, I think, of the three. But for this cup run, he's the running mate to Nathan MacKinnon.
When he kind of joined, right? It's similar to what we're talking about with AI.
A little different, but
is there any argument for Gabriel Landeskog?
No.
Okay.
Being the star or the running mate?
Well,
huh?
He's the captain. He's, you know,
look, there's a ton of.
They're loaded with amazing players.
Nathan MacKinnon actually had three running mates in Makar, Rantanen, and Landeskog. But Landeskog is pretty clearly behind Rantanen and Makar in that conversation for me. And as Makar won the playoff MVP, I think you could certainly make a case for him. But as you guys have said about some of these other ones, Nathan MacKinnon, one, is the guy who's been here at the time, was the face of the franchise, probably still is. Makar's a little bit in that conversation. But more importantly, Nathan MacKinnon was the emotional center of that hockey team. That entire season, Nathan MacKinnon was like, we're going to win. I'm not leaving you any other options, but we're winning this thing.
You love that. You want your emotional center to be kind of a jerk. Like, that's what I love about Nathan MacKinnon. He's like a jerk. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He, like, is in a sport like hockey that is where aggression wins. I love Nathan MacKinnon.
It's very similar to Jordan in the stuff from The Last Dance. It's really, really similar to that.
He's like
MacKinnon.
Man Rocket.
Yeah.
Look at me. Look at me.
He's very much like, hey, I'm here to do one thing, and that is to win the chip. And if you're not about it, then get out.
Yeah, I love that.
So it's MacKinnon is the top guy for me. Long term, it's going to be Makar is the top guy, and MacKinnon, it probably becomes his running mate as the years go on. And then you have Miko as like the lovable little brother guy who gets to come in and be like, hey, guys, I'm good, too.
He's like, oh, somebody's going to score 50 goals. Yeah. How cute.
Right.
Dude, I didn't know this. Did you know this? No, I didn't know that I was supposed to have my whole life be focused on former Yugoslavia until now.
Sakic is the son of Croatian immigrants. And like, yeah, changed to Sakic instead of Sakic.
Is that RK's burner?
We were having this exact debate earlier. It'd actually be nice if there was a common thread with a Jokic, Sakic.
It's actually Elwich.
Right.
Yeah, they changed it.
We're all excited.
Murray and Jokic, a sandwich?
That's right.
All right.
A pickage. Helping you with these bad jokes, this hot heat.
My guys were just in Vegas, hot in Vegas.
Very hot.
I was just
uncomfortably so
in the mountains for Zach Stevens' wedding. That high altitude sun, it doesn't mess around. Whether you're in Vegas, at a wedding in the mountains, doing a stream at your home like Rudo, wear your Shady Rays. They look classy. They're comfy. They have great lenses. They're designer quality glasses. At the price, that's, I don't know, a third of that. And they're durable and wonderful and stylish. They fit any occasion. Check their website out. Use that code DMVR where you can get a 50% off shades right now. That used to be when you buy two. I think now it's when you can just buy one at 50% off.
Really?
I don't know why you would stop there, though. They're like a third of the price of a designer glasses. Then you half that. Double it up.
Does Shady Rays owe us money at a certain point?
I can't.
If you order sunglasses, does this come with the glasses and a check?
Yeah, they are one of those companies, just like when we would have we still do a free shirt when you are a member. And people are like, guys, I think you're losing money on this deal. I have those same fears for Shady Rays. Well,
you haven't even gotten to the best part yet, which, if you didn't know, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, we knew that.
That's
actually
part.
The title of the show.
So I do things like, I'll just hang my sunglasses in my back pocket, I sit on them, and then they break.
Oh, yeah. It happens.
Thankfully, Shady Rays will replace them for free in the first 30 days. Yeah. So I'm allowed to be an idiot with
Shady
Rays. Insane.
They're so good, man. I cannot endorse their product enough. Check them out, ShadyRays.com. Use that code DNVR and get hooked up with their great deals. Rudo, I think I have two newbies on my Circle K question. When you're on a road trip, and you stop at Circle K for some snacks, what's your go-to? We got, surprisingly, this company, Big Corn Nut Crew over here.
I'm huge on corn nuts, but also the beef jerky.
Oh, savory king over here. I love that. Eric, what's your go-to?
Got a ritual, get it every time. First Circle K encounter, seven burritos and one Diet Coke every time.
Oh my God.
That is really specific.
I go for seven Da Bomb burritos and one Diet Coke every time.
That's the gaseous car ride that you've ever been on in your life.
Listen, I
windows down on that road trip.
It's a trick. It's like my free throw routine. It lets my body know we're in road trip mode.
Shooting 40% on those free throws.
You're trying to change your body chemistry with that order.
I'm trying to slow it to a crawl.
He's more burrito than man at this moment.
Well, he's not honestly, you know what, himself. You know what I honestly am a sucker for? An SPK, dude. Sour Patch Kid. I will hit a Sour Patch Kid today, tomorrow, and well into the future.
That's the way to go when you are on a road trip this summer. Stop at a Circle K, get your favorite snacks, and support them because they support the pod. All right, guys, I think we have two clear cuts, Murray, TD, and a whole lot of candidates, and not really a clean anyone else, which is fine. We don't need to Mount Rushmore anything, but if I were to ask you a final four and press you, Adam, who would you have as your perfect final four running mates?
Man, this is so tough.
It's very hard.
I honestly don't know if I could easily answer that. I mean, then go for it.
Terrell Davis.
Yes, sir.
We already have that one.
Yep.
Jamal Murray.
Okay. Yes.
Peter Forsberg.
Mm.
And Matt Holliday. That's them. Print the list. Start chiseling the heads.
To me, like, I don't know, man.
Buy the dynamite.
It's too hard.
Forsberg's a great running mate. And Holiday, you know, it's kind of the TD. Like, he came around and he took our guy as far as he could go.
Listen, you still see...
It's a short tenure for Holiday, but
the echoes into eternity thing. We will forever talk about that slide. We will forever...
Can I nominate another one that's, I think, a little underrated here? When we talk about, again, this is less about the greatness of the player, but more like the impact they had. You had Atwater. You think Dennis Smith was a little bit like, there was a moment in time there where
Atwater and Dennis Smith together.
Yeah, like Dennis Smith would be the running mate. Dude. Where it was like, they were just crushing bones.
I think in that case,
For me, DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller are top four. Right, like, Von Chris was Harris always Jr.? Great, but once he got there,
the no fly zone.
Forget it.
The no fly zone.
Chris Harris Jr.
Chris Harris Jr.
Stop the demolition. Stop chiseling the head.
We're gonna have to really make some adjustments to those ears to make them match.
Chris Harris to Aqib Talib though.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the rest of the one. To me, though, I almost think of Dennis Smith maybe more. Maybe this is because it was my childhood.
Did we get too broad and we should be talking Devontae's with McCarr or
ask again if he signs. I think that's part of the problem with this conversation is you have Murray and Jokic right now. You have McKinnon and McCarr right now. But how do these conversations develop over the next 5, 6, 7 years? Mm-hmm. Who is that other guy that comes in and starts to become that? I think you could make an argument a little bit for Arturi Lehkonen next to Nathan McKinnon as that guy, as like a true running mate, plays next to him every night. So for the modern guys, I think a lot of the answers, at least for Nuggets and Avs, we don't fully know yet. You know, does Christian Braun become that guy?
I don't know.
Denver?
Christian Brown might.
Nah, but also.
But also no.
So is that an opening that someone can step into? As does it become less of a running mate and more of a pool of three guys or whatever?
I don't think so, just because of how they play.
Okay,
it really is a system built around two guys, and everyone just like waits.
Which is your like, running mate,
which is cool. It works.
You've got your running mate, and then you've got your cabinet.
My ultimate point here, I think you have Murray and Jokic as the perfect tandem in Colorado. Like, I don't think anyone as a tandem gets up, not even Davis and Elway, gets up to those two as a tandem together. They're as good as it's ever going to get.
They are electric playing off each other.
They have the most unstoppable action in the NBA. It doesn't matter. We watch them. The crazy thing was that Elway and TD, like, snuck it over the finish line. They got it done. Like, nobody was expecting anything out of them beating Green Bay. You know,
the second time though.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm saying, like, this was the Denver Nuggets were faced up many times throughout the season and in the playoffs against what was known as the top defense in the league, and they just made absolute mincemeat out of it. They had the dominance that they displayed.
Yep.
Even beyond the, because a lot of this we're talking about the sentimentality, what it meant to the, you know, what it meant to the city. And again, the thing I brought up like a goddamn moron is how it echoes into eternity. Mm-hmm. But like just the way that those two play off of each other, never been more dominant. Two players, never.
I think DeMarcus Ware is definitely in my top four. The hype that watching those guys knock Tom Brady on his ass 20 times in the AFC Championship.
You're right. This is a great
and then
take,
the
now.
League MVP and Cam Newton so the beautiful. Next week. Like,
you're right. You've sold me.
That's like
with
some
that.
Of my peak moments as a Denver sports fan.
Yeah,
it's just
the offensive
so complicated.
Side doesn't have one.
You'd love to have a fourth that's an AV because you have all these great AVs. There's
the Avs are too good for their own good on this
it's
one.
So true. It's really the nature of hockey. You can have some dynamic duos, but some of this is the nature of like.
Look, we just went through an entire era. I'm wearing the wrong shirt, but the three-headed monster was the thing of the last six years. So
right. Don't
it's hard
blow
to
my
have
content
one
for
running
best
mate.
Top threes in Denver sports.
Hockey is a sport where you never possess the item. You hold on to the ball. In football, in
possession
basketball,
is just so much more fluid.
Yes, in basketball, the point guard they have the ball. They can kind of make decisions. In hockey, a lot of it is just reacting.
Whoever's got the puck at that moment just has
so
it for
there's
a second.
Just
a,
which is why the hockey playoffs are so much more interesting because there's so much more chance involved. But
duos in hockey, though.
Absolutely. Like, whatever.
McCarr and Byram, I think, is very potential.
No question. I just mean, like, when it shakes out, you can be like, that team won because of Jokic and Murray, and the other ones that we're like, is it Wall? Is it, you know?
You're right. It's too hard to shake that out.
Okay. I think that's where we're at with that. That was a fun one. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
I love the Dennis Smith pick, though. I'm telling you, man. Those two,
I was
thinking of them because I just felt like they broke guys every game as
they
a duo. Like,
yes.
You either get hit this way or this way.
Well, those were great defenses. Yeah. I mean, that's Dan Reeves
that
built
was real
that
football
on, like,
back in the day. Lead with your head.
Well, that's what I was like.
No defenseless receivers.
Yes.
I was raised in an era of ultraviolence that I crave. It's been taken from me.
Absolutely. Those were all-time greats. Just like a Breckenridge Brewery, Mountain Beach Sour is a great beer for the summer, a great duo with your taste buds. Yeah, it's summertime, it's Breckenridge Brewery time, and it's Mountain Beach Sour time. Check out the beer locator, breckbrew.com, for the nearest beer near you. We all have our favorites. We all have our summer favorites, our fall favorites, our winter favorites.
Imagine not picking the Strawberry Sky in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to, right?
The sour ale is fantastic.
It's great, but the strawberry sky is summer in a can. It is delightful and delicious. And also, check out our new betting partner, Bet365. Sign up, use their code DMVR365 when you sign up, and they will give you $200 in bonus bets. It's an amazing deal. All you have to do is deposit. There might be a deposit limit of $10. Deposit $10. Place a bet. Bet has to be of $1 or more. As soon as that bet hits, win or lose, your account will hit $200 in bonus bets. And the beauty is, any bet you make, you've got those $200 to play with. You just check a box. Yep, I want to use some of my bonus bets. And you can use a dollar. You can use the full $200. You can use $50. It's whatever. It's up to you. You just have $200 in bonus bets to play with. And they've got boosted Avs to win the cup. I think they've got boosted Nuggets to win the cup.
No. It's the summer. We're betting on the Australian Ice Hockey League right now.
I mean, okay. Rudo's your guy right now on the Southern Hemisphere Hockey Leagues. And insanely, Bet365 does allow you to wager on those.
It does.
It's amazing. Adam and I might be a house divided because Novak Djokovic has taken on my guy, Yannick Sinner, in the Wimbledon semis. He doesn't even know.
Oh, I knew that.
But we can bet on that at Bet365. We can bet on all things, including the Rockies, where Susie Hunter's here. What a surprise for us to end TDSP talking about a sneaky, really cool moment in Denver sports that just happened over the weekend. Mm. That's not the All-Star game.
It's only sneaky because it's the Rockies.
You know what? I was going to say, we've been watching. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Elias Diaz. We've been watching him. We weren't surprised. The people who actually watch the Rockies every day, not surprised.
Hold on a second. We do share a company Slack channel. We do. Very surprised, Susie. You were surprised. You were surprised. There was an exclamation point.
You know what?
He'd be the MVP.
I was expecting him to ball out. I was not expecting him to actually get the recognition he deserves.
Okay. There you go. She was prepared for him to be slighted, but he was not.
He was not. That was incredible. For better or for worse, this is probably the most exciting moment for the Rockies this season.
It's three pieces of history all in one. Yeah. It's first catcher to make an All-Star game in Rockies history, first MVP, and the NL
actually won a game.
Because of all this, because of a Rockies catcher, what am I even saying right now?
Like,
won the All-Star game in the first time in forever, and maybe the only All-Star game that's still cool.
Yeah, I will say,
good final point.
I think a lot of people are with you on that, in that the MLB All-Star game actually is so much fun.
I couldn't believe how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. It was a little hard to watch here in Denver.
That sucked. I did not like that. DirecTV blocked us out.
If you're a DirecTV customer, you did not get the channel that the All-Star game was on because of a feud between DirecTV and Nextstar, who owns a lot of local stations across the country.
The channel was Fox.
It was just Fox.
Like, big Fox.
Just Fox.
You put on Fox and you're like, oh, I'm getting blacked out of just this. They'll show me all their other programming.
There's nothing,
but
no good cable companies in the world.
So many people caught DirecTV because that is one of the few options where you can get all of the RSNs. So for me to not be able to watch this game at
home,
it was
brutal, crazy,
but I found a way. I got in there. I'm not going to explain how, but what an incredible, incredible performance. I'm glad if they didn't put him in the game, I would have been so upset. But he got in there in the eighth inning, game-winning home run, wins it for the National League for the first time in God knows how many years, like 10 years. But
that's awesome.
Crazy.
So excited, so humble. Did he take any pitches as an actual catcher? Did he ever get behind the mound? I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
No, he just came in, took care of business,
MVP off one at bat. And it was kind of like an exciting game. Obviously, he does it off an all-star.
Yeah. And also, he's just like, he's just been through a lot. I mean, this is a dude who was let go by the Pirates in 2019, signed with the Rockies on a minor league deal in 2020. And now, just a few years later, he is the freaking all-star MVP. It gives me chills to think about it because he worked so hard and it paid off.
Well, in all sincerity, what does this do for the Rockies? Because you're right. This is the Rocky story that reached through, right?
Yeah, like it reached through.
It reached through. And now, you know, they're back in action tomorrow. Like, well, if the Rocky season isn't going to miraculously turn around or all of a sudden have added meaning. But, like, what do you feel? Like, is there any kind of momentum now to, like, hey, man, kind of cool?
I think it's definitely great for morale. It's definitely great for the rest of the team to see a guy who, you know, is in the same circumstance as them but still works his ass off every day. Mm. And it paid off for him.
Right.
I mean, best case scenario, I guess. Yeah, like, yeah, it's a morale boost. But also, you know, you hope that his trade value goes up. You hope that maybe this is a guy that the Rockies could deal and get something back in terms of prospects. So we can have a baller-ass team when all of our amazing prospects come up in a couple of years.
So that's probably not going to happen then? They're just going to let him write out his contract and then lose him for nothing? Is that?
That's the pattern. That's the pattern. But you kind of hope that with all of...
How can we trade this guy? He's MLB All-Star. You can't trade him.
You have to hope, though, that, you know, something will go a little differently. That history won't necessarily repeat itself. It's not that I don't want Diaz on this team anymore. It's that... It's crazy that an all-star MVP is on a team that is on pace to lose more than 100 games right now. That is insane. That makes no damn sense. I think he deserves to be playing for a contender, finishing this season with a contender, and we deserve to get a little something out of it, too, for the future.
Does it feel like a sneaky big trade deadline for the franchise to finally show us, like, hey, we are going to try and get some value off the good vets we have on this team? So that in 25, 26, they can be competitive.
I actually think the Rockies will make moves this trade deadline. I actually think they will. They've already done one move. They got rid of Moustakas. They traded him to the Angels.
Yep.
Got some dudes back for that. So I think they'll actually do that this year, as opposed to other years where they do nothing.
It's funny. I'm sure you saw it, Rudo, the photo of, like, the during the draft, the Rockies draft room is just... three white-haired old guys, and everyone's dunking on them, of course. But the draft itself, I was encouraged by. Like, it seems like they've got a strategy. It seems like they're going away from some of the only get sinker ballers or two-seam fastball guys who go low. We're kind of entering modern baseball, and we can hammer the top of the strike zone now. Yeah. And it just seems like they've built some talent over the last few years that they weren't quite savvy enough to build on prior.
Yeah, whatever they did going into this draft season, they did a good job. I'm really happy with our picks. A lot of Rockies fans are really happy with our picks. A lot of dudes out of Tennessee, though. I'm saying Todd Helton personally picked them. I don't know if he did, but, like, the math is mathing on that for me.
Well, talks of, like, their second pick is the analytics department inspired that. So maybe you don't see the analytics department in the draft room, but, like, just that tells me, like, okay, we've got a method to our madness finally, which...
Let's hope. Don't get too excited, but...
I feel like that's the story of the Rockies. Give me someone young to be excited about, because every time I want to get excited, Zach Veen gets hurt again. So
yeah, Zach Veen, very disappointed. He had hand surgery, so he's going to be out for the rest of the season. So that sucks.
I hate that sucks so much.
And especially because we're like, ooh, what if he, like, is a September call-up? That would be so fun. And now that won't be the case, but he's one of those dudes, though. He's going to come back stronger and better than ever. Rockies are going to be lit in, like, 2026.
Oh, can't wait. What else can you tell us, though, for, like, storylines? Do you see any for the rest of the year? Like, what's the most exciting thing left with the Rockies this season?
Most exciting thing? Well, I will say the Yankees are in town this weekend. Yeah, so that'll be a really fun series. And hopefully we'll just see more of these young guys coming up, playing together. That's the story. The story is, let's get to know these players who are going to kick ass in a couple of seasons.
Damn straight. You get to talk to Diaz tomorrow?
Yeah. We'll get to see him tomorrow. I hope I get to see the trophy, that bat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope he brings it to the clubhouse. I know he said he was going to bring it home, but don't know. Let's hope he brings it just for a little appearance.
Yeah, and no, like, Jokic-style jokes about having lost it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The Rockies, we need a little more seriousness, you know.
We need
a,
please.
I'll tell you what, that's one award I don't think Jokic will ever win. All-star game. I don't think so. He's winning that one.
I think so. There was clips of Giannis not able to hit a ball off a tee. I bet you Jokic is not that far
off. No, I mean NBA MVP game.
He does not care. He does not
care.
If
you get him to show up, that's a win.
That's why he's a legend. She's Susie Hunter. Stay tuned to all the great coverage on DMVR Rockies as the team comes back to town to take on the Yankees this week. They trade someone at the deadline. I'm taking the five-year-old to a game. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Don't steer me wrong, Rockies. Do the right thing. This five-year-old wants to come see a live game. We will do it. Thank you all. This has been amazing. Five-person panel. Thank you, Kale, as always, for being outstanding on the ones and twos. And thank you to Breck Brewery for sponsoring this here show. Stay tuned to all our great shows tomorrow and have a great weekend. We'll be back next week.